Extend greetings to each one this morning in the name of Jesus. It's a privilege for our family to be with you today. This is the first time that we've been here. A few faces that we see at Kirkwood from time to time, Caleb show up, and Earls, we're glad to see them. It's a big weekend for our family. The youth from Kirkwood are at Jim Thorpe this weekend, and they invited us to go with them. And so we came from there this morning, and I've learned, and I remember too, my boys asked me if I ever stayed up this late in my life, because youth don't go to bed very early. And I said, yeah, when I was a young fellow, we stayed up late too. So we're going to need some prayers for physical strength, right, and inspiration. But I trust the Lord will be near to us here today, and that the words that are shared will be upbuilding, encouraging for us, and helpful to us as we live life here. We face good times and difficult times in life as Christians, and it's various phases of that. As we face life and its challenges, we need to remember that we're not here forever. We'll be soon to our final destination. We feel comfortable here with the peaceful surroundings that you and I enjoy, but we need to remember that this is not our home. For a message this morning, you can open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. I have chosen to take us to the Gethsemane story. I'd like to look at Jesus this morning and draw some challenges and some encouragements for us as we consider Jesus. That's one of the reasons we keep coming to our Gospels is to search out Jesus, who he was, how he lived. And in this moment of his life, there is a lot of things that we can learn from our perfect example. Mark chapter 14 and verse 32 is where we will break in. And they came to a place, that was Jesus and his disciples, which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here, while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely." We're going to stop there. We can continue reading on. Most of our thoughts will come from verses 32 and through 42. I'd like to consider Jesus as our perfect example of prayer. It's the title of the message here this morning. We have Jesus in this account, and we must not forget today that Jesus was a man like you and I. He was a true human. The scripture says of Jesus that he increased in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus had a personality. He grew. And it unfolded day by day and week by week. Jesus as a man. Well, there were moments in Jesus' life that had great significance. Think about his baptism. The Spirit came down upon him. That voice spoke out from heaven. Think about that sermon he preached. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. One that we spend a lot of time studying and learning how to live here. Very powerful account, sermon that he preached. We have him out in that wilderness for 40 days. Being tempted of the devil. We have his transfiguration where he turned into a glorified divine being. And now we have him with the men whom he had chosen to be with. And these men loved Jesus. And he loved them. And they desired to be with him as much as Jesus desired them to be with him. And we see that here. He wanted them to be with him. So we have the Lord's Supper. And we have the last 48 hours here of Jesus' life. And I think this moment here in Gethsemane is one of the most challenging pictures we have of Jesus as a man. And it's maybe the most magnificent in our Bibles about Jesus. As he faced this great trial as a man. This man was the Son of God, and he says, he told the people that listened to him, he said, "Look, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father." There's a mystery about this man that you and I can't fully comprehend. As we consider his 100% divineness of being God and his 100% being man, and our minds have a hard time understanding that and comprehending that. It's a mystery. We accept it by faith. But yet, even in that mystery, we cannot doubt when the scripture tells us that Jesus suffered like as we will, yet without sin. He faced difficult temptations like you and I. Well, the first point I'd like to point out to us about Jesus and his prayer life was that he prayed. And we see that he prayed three times. You may wonder why that is worth our time reflecting on. Well, as one Scottish man wrote, he says, "Prayer is impotence, grasping at omnipotence." And there's something really powerful about Jesus praying in this account as a man. Jesus, in this moment, he was weak and he felt helpless. And he was reaching out for help. Isn't that what prayer is? Reaching out for help. We need help. We need some assistance, some divine assistance. That's what prayer is. Our hands are stretched out to our Father. And here is Jesus as a man. And he's sensing his weakness as a man. and his helplessness and his need for God, his Father, to come to him in this moment. He wasn't able to handle the next 48 hours alone. He needed somebody to help him. He saw, he was able to see ahead because of who he was, and he saw out in the distance, really, really close actually, was the cross and the trial and all that led up to that. He was able to see that. He understood that. It was coming closer to him, and he felt it weighed in upon him. It was a struggle for him. And as men today, as women today, as humans today, we really need to drive it into our hearts and into our minds that being dependent is not a sign of weakness or of sinfulness. That is a sign of that we've been created, that we need a creator to help us. It's a sign of my humanness. This is who I am. Jesus here in this moment felt he couldn't bear his load. It was too hard for him to bear this load. It was too heavy. He couldn't climb the mountain that the Father, his Father, was calling him to climb. And in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, it says that it was with strong tears and with crying that he cried out to his Father. It gives us glimpses of the desperation that Jesus felt as a man in this moment as he faced the cross. If Jesus felt this way about his life, is it possible for you and I to go, what, one day or 2 days or 3 days without prayer? And we can think we'll be okay, that we can handle it ourselves, I got it in control? Or do we daily reckon with our need for dependence, that we are dependent? We need a higher help in our life. I can't handle this alone. Even my life right now, I need your help, Father, today. Christ was saying to his Father, there's no way for me to carry this cross. There's no way for me to drink this cup unless you help me. Jesus says, I can't bear the nails and the spear thrusts and the trial. I can't bear that alone. I'm going to need you to help me to get through this. We have Jesus, the Son of God, yet he's praying, and he's praying to his Father in desperation because of his need in his life. And this morning, it doesn't really matter what position you have in life or in the church, whether you're a minister or a deacon or a bishop or some other whatever. There's no place in life where we can outgrow our need for more help. We cannot become independent of and in ourselves. Doesn't really matter what experiences we've had in life or the gifts that God's given to us. We can't afford to be spiritually independent from God. And so there shouldn't be a single day of our lives that we go without prayer. As a Christian, as we recognize our dependence upon God and our need of him to help us, there's burdens we cannot carry without prayer. There are mountains we cannot climb without prayer. And today in America, today in 2026, we need to remind ourselves frequently that we're not independent. We live that way so much, and that affects how I live as a Christian. We need to be aware of our weakness, of our limitations, of our inabilities to do this alone. We need to recognize that every load is too big, that every obstacle is too great, every obligation is too heavy, and every privilege is too much. Every temptation is too strong. Do you feel that? Do I feel that in my life as a Christian, as I live here, that I need my Father to help me today to live above sin or the challenges or the difficulties that God's allowed into my life? We have Jesus. He never failed. He was a perfect man. He was filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. And he probably had more right than any other creature on earth to pretend to be independent. But yet, here he was in this moment. He was grasping out in weakness to his Father for help, to his all-powerful Father. And do you see the earnestness in which he prays? It says he falls to the ground. That's how great the burden was. I don't know if you ever felt burdens like that, where you fall to the ground and you cry out because you don't know what to do next, where to go next, what to do. This is our perfect example. As he faced the greatest obstacle, he faced it on his face, on the ground. And he prays. It's in these moments, the scripture tells us, that in his agony, his perspiration was as great drops of blood. That was the extreme desperation and the feelings of his whole being as that spiritual struggle just was on him, and he prays. That's the first point. He prayed, and he sensed his need of God. Yeah. Next thing I'd like to call your attention to is that he prays and he asks for something that is not the Father's will to give him. He says in verse 36, he says, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me." Jesus was praying to his Father to remove the cup, to take away the cup. The cup that was in front of him, this cup of suffering, this cup of death, he wanted it to be removed. And he's praying earnestly for the Father to remove this cup. Something that the Father did not intend to do in this moment. It was the Father's will for him to drink this cup, but yet, in this moment, he was praying to his Father to take away the cup. Take away this journey that you're calling me to go on. There's sometimes in our own lives where you have prayed maybe for something for a long time and nothing really has happened. And you begin to wonder, like, does God really hear my prayer? Is God listening to me? And our souls can become really burdened down with that. I wonder what Jesus felt here as he was praying to his Father that he would take away the cup from him. Did he feel his Father heard his prayer in this moment? I believe he did. So he's praying for something that was not the Father's will to give him in this moment. I thought of the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, was caught up into the third heavens, and he saw things that he couldn't speak about. And God gave to him a thorn in his flesh, a messenger from Satan. We don't know what that was for sure. But Paul, this bothered him a lot. It kept him awake at night. It troubled him. Couldn't sleep. It distracted him. This thorn that God gave him, and he prayed for the Lord to take it away. And he didn't just ask the Lord to take it away one time, but he prayed three times. He said, "Father, I just really want you to remove this thorn from my life. This thing is really troubling me. It's causing me a lot of problems. I want it to be gone." But it wasn't God's will for the thorn to be gone. It was not God's will for that thorn to be removed. But yet, the Apostle Paul, a man connected closely to God, to his Father, was also praying to the Father to take away the thorn, to remove the thorn. We could have said, "Paul, this was God's will for you. This is God's will for your life, this thorn. Just accept it. This is God's plan for you." But it was hard for Paul. Accepting God's will in his life with this thorn was difficult for Paul. It troubled him so much, and it really bothered him. He wanted it to be gone away. God told him, "My grace will be sufficient for you with this thorn." I'm trying to help us understand that sometimes there's things in our lives that we really wish God would change or do differently for us. And we pray over and over again. And these are difficult things. They're not easy, but our perfect example, Jesus, he also faced this. Paul, the apostle, he also faced difficult things. And he also prayed for it to be removed. But it wasn't the Father's will. That didn't bring comfort to them, necessarily, knowing that this was the will of their Father. It was still a troubling thing. It was still difficult for them. And so we have Jesus in this passage. He was the Creator who had become created. He was the Almighty who had become weak. He was the upholder of all things. But yet, in this moment, he was dependent. He's shrinking back. He's shrinking back from what he knows is going to happen to him tomorrow. He's shrinking back from it. He's longing to escape it. "If there's any other way, Father, take away this cup from me." Sometimes in life, I've said, "Well, if I know what God's will is for me, well, then it would be easier to accept." But that is not true. That's the whole glory of this Gethsemane picture, was that God's will in this moment was not easy. It was really difficult. It was really painful. It was really hard. It wasn't easy for our Lord. It wasn't easy for the Apostle Paul to accept God's will for him with the thorn that God gave to him. There wasn't any use for the people around Paul to say, "Well, Paul, this is God's will for you now. Like, just accept it and move on." That wasn't what Paul needed in his life at that moment. These things hurt, and they really hurt. It causes a lot of trouble. So this morning, I don't know you as a congregation, but if you got something in your life today that's difficult to bear, don't feel bad about that. Jesus had some really difficult things to bear too. They were really hard. It may be God's will. It likely is God's will that you are right where you are with that really painful experience and that really difficult thing right now. It doesn't make it easy. So let's not be critical of our brothers and sisters who face difficult thorny times in life, and they feel pain and hurt. Because God's will sometimes is difficult. And it brings tears and it brings a lot of pain. And so it's not surprising if Jesus in this moment was praying to his Father to take away this cup from me. It shouldn't surprise us at all either that we ourselves also ask our Father, like, look, can't you just change this circumstance or what's happened to me? Can't you just intervene? Can't you just make things different? Just a different cup. I'll take the cup, but just put something different in the cup. I don't want what's in the cup. That's what Jesus was saying. Father, I see the cup. I see what's in the cup. Can you put something different in there for me? That's why he's praying. That's why he's face down on the ground praying. And he's longing because he's longing for this cup to pass from him. He is, to us, he is God's greatest definition of a man. Jesus is. He's perfect. But this is his struggle as a man. And you and I can relate to this struggle as Jesus did. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And I take a lot of comfort in this passage today from my own life, my own journey, and the painful experiences that I've faced in my life. Jesus faced difficult things, and he didn't find it easy to walk through these times. He didn't just take these things in stride, and it's not a big deal. God's will is difficult at moments to accept and to understand and to move forward in. And so we have him praying earnestly. He's praying three times, and yet he's praying submissively. He says, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. This is really deep in this account because there's two wills in focus here. It's the will of the Father, and it's the will of the Son. And the two wills right now are just not quite the same, it seems. And I have a hard time getting a hold of some of this. But yet, in this moment, as Jesus struggled to accept, to submit to the will of his Father, yet there is submission in this moment. It wasn't easy. It took him a while to get there. But he got there. And he submitted. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Submission today does not pretend that this circumstance, this moment, is not what I really wanted. But rather, there's just this frank acknowledgement that this moment, this experience, is painful to me. This is difficult. My journey right now is hard because of where I'm at and my circumstances and the things that are happening to me. Jesus was hurting too, and he was praying to his Father, and yet he says, not my will, but yours be done. And sometimes as we bear loads in life, difficult moments, difficult times. This may go to numbers of years, less or more. Sometimes we can feel guilty about the hardness of the journey that we're in. We begin to wonder if we are in God's plan, if we're in God's will for us. Because you can hear voices in your head telling you sometimes that maybe you're not right with God, because we talk sometimes about accepting God's will and submitting to it joyfully. But sometimes it's not really that easy to be joyful. I don't see Jesus being really joyful in this passage as he was endeavoring to submit to the will of his Father. There's things in life that are not a delight to us. They're hard things to face and to go through and to walk through. And so don't pretend this today that this is what you want and that you're tough. This is where I am. This is God's will for me. And we just move on. It's okay to acknowledge the difficultness of the journey of where you are. Jesus did that here. Jesus did not enjoy Calvary. He did not enjoy this moment in his life. This was difficult times for him. But yet he was submissive to it. And so today, if there's difficult things in your life, it's okay to feel hurt today and to experience pain and sorrow. That's okay. Because Jesus faced that here too. But are we willing to follow our perfect example, not my will, but yours be done? Was Jesus' prayer answered? How was his prayer answered? Prayed earnestly, prays submissively, and the Father answered his prayer. He did. And in Luke chapter 22, I'm just going to turn there briefly. In verse 43, it's a detail that's missing here in Mark. But as he was in this moment of trial and much affliction, of much tears and sorrow. In verse 43 of Luke chapter 22, it says, And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. An angel. A holy angel. An angel that waited at the Father's right hand. And that day, as the angels gathered around the throne for their directions for the day, what they were to do, this angel received, I believe, one of the most astonishing directions ever given to him. The Father told this angel, go to my Son. Go to your Creator. You'll find him in the Garden of Gethsemane. You'll find him laying down on the ground. And you'll find him there crying, and he's broken. I need you to comfort him. Go and comfort him. Go and encourage your Creator. Go speak words of strength to him. Speak words of consolation to his heart. That's what he did. There he went. He was gone on a mission. It's probably the most amazing mission ever were, to comfort the Son of God. This angel was on a mission to comfort his Creator in the Garden of Gethsemane. How did he do it? We're not told. Only imagine. Maybe he said to Jesus, said, my Father sent me, your Father sent me to tell you how much he loves you and how much your life lived here on this earth. Everything you did here was very well pleasing to him. You are a pleasure to your Father, and he loves to look down on you in this moment. Pleased with your prayer. You're his beloved son. I'm here from him to comfort you, in this moment. What an honor it must have been for this angel to comfort his Lord and his Master. Jesus prayed, the answer came, and we see a change as he leaves the Garden of Gethsemane. He went from face down on the ground, weak and crying, sweating great drops of blood. And he returns to his disciples that third time. And he seems very composed. In verse 41, he says, "Sleep on now, take your rest, it is enough. The hour has come, behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand." Prayed through. His prayer was answered, not in the way that he willed, but in the way that his Father willed. And the answer came to him with the grace that he needed right then in that moment to meet the next step. He found strength to do that. "Rise up, men, let's go. They're coming. They're coming to get me. I'm ready for it." Heard the sounds, the sticks cracking, the leaves rustling, and they see the lanterns and a great multitude of men with swords and spears coming through the woods, through the garden to Jesus. And they arrest him. And they capture him, they take him to the courts, to Pilate, to the Sanhedrin, to Caiaphas, to Herod. And you know the story well enough, but our Lord stands there in some of those most difficult moments, and he stands there composed, quiet, and he bore through those difficult moments in his journey. That was the way the Father answered his prayer. It was not the removal of the cup. It wasn't a change of plans. But it was grace to walk through, to carry through the next step, the next moment, the next trial. So this morning, as we pray in difficult moments and we face painful experiences on our journey, oftentimes it's not going to be the change of the circumstances. It's not going to be the removal of the pain, but it's going to be rather the grace to walk through that. The strength to do that. And then in those moments, you're not sure if you're going to be able to do it, but you will be able to do it. That's how often our Father answers our prayer, is able to sustain us through the difficult times in our life here. And you'll find the grace for that doctor's appointment. You'll find the strength for the operation, for the recuperation, for treatments, for the financial difficulties, for the special needs child the Lord's given to you, for the miscarriages, for patience with your children, for your week that you don't know how you're going to get through, for the courtship that didn't work out, the thorn in your flesh. We face a lot of difficult moments in our journeys here below. I have found so often that God doesn't remove them from me, but he gives you grace to walk through that moment. And looking back, you can see that in that moment, it's not sure, can I do this? Will I be able to do this? But your Father will never forsake you in your hard times. He's there. And yeah, the Bible tells us that these angels are ever present with us. They encamp round about them that fear him, and they'll deliver them. And so take courage this morning. Wherever you are in life, if you're in good times, take courage. If you're in bad times, take courage as well, because our Father will be there for you. Extraordinary grace will be received because our Father is gracious. So may we this morning be encouraged to follow our perfect example. As he prayed, so may I pray. As he submitted to the will of his Father, may I be willing also to submit to the will of the Father in my own experiences and difficult times in life. And then may I also experience the grace that will come to carry me through one step at a time. And in those moments, it will be painful and difficult, but yet there will be a sense of peace as you surrender your life to the call of God on your life right where you are right now. May God bless each one of you, give you courage to continue to journey on faithful. There's going to be a day, brothers and sisters, when these moments are over. May we have faith to see that, to lay hold upon that, and to look forward to that day. And so don't give up this morning. Keep pressing on one step at a time. And God will be faithful to bring you through. Let's kneel for prayer.